Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, October 6, 2015, and with me today, Dave Hamilton. How are you, Dave?
I'm well. Thanks for having me.
It's awesome to have you here. And Brian Chaffin, it's awesome to have you here, too. I hope
you're doing well.
I am.
Excellent. I am glad to hear it. And I hope all our listeners are doing well, too, because, well, that just makes me happy when everyone's doing well. Hey, we have a sponsor this week, and that sponsor is Downcast, the podcast playback and management app, which is totally awesome. We'll talk about them soon. But right now, what I want to talk about is this whole thing about Steve Jobs movies and the history of Steve. And Brian, you pointed out that we're getting some factions.
Yeah, that's how I see it. One of our readers specifically disagreed with that characterization, but that seems pretty clear to me. You know, we've in particular Steve Jobs' inner circle is unpleased with Walter Isaacson's biography, and they're unpleased with the movie made from that biography, and it's
Yeah, it's an extension of that. I feel right, and it's crazy to me.
Yeah, it really doesn't make much sense. I mean, you know, even when you have the whole thing about understanding someone that you didn't know yourself is you've got to absorb. If you really want to understand that person, you have to absorb everything you can.
Sure, unless all you want to have is the validation for the image that you have created of someone, in which case you seek out just the research or movies or books, whatever, that back up what you want to believe.
Now, to be fair, we're talking about two different things. I mean, there's the people that were in Jobs' inner circle, and I mean, I include his family there, that have spoken out against the book and, you know, now especially with his widow, the movie. And then there's everyone else that mostly didn't know Steve Jobs and has picked a side. And and so many people feel like to properly honor Steve's legacy, I therefore must choose sides with the remaining people at Apple and now Laureen Powell Jobs. As I was getting up this morning and kind of thinking about it, it reminds me of political factions where no one wants to listen to the other side. But it's crazy. I mean, we're talking about the memory or the – not even the memory, but the history of someone. And no one piece of information, no one piece of literature, no one movie is going to get it correct.
No one perspective in particular.
And right. So – to me, it seems like you don't – whether you have a favorite or not is sort of irrelevant. If you want to know about this person or whatever subject it is that you care to learn about, you need to read all of it. And all of it's going to be incorrect. And you're going to get pieces and bits.
But all of it's also going to be partially correct.
That's the thing, right? Yeah, it's going to be – yes, incorrect is the wrong word. It's all going to be partially correct, and you need to sort of pull it all together. And I mean rewinding all the way back to, you know, The Journey is the Reward, which was a book decades ago written about Steve Jobs. And obviously, at best, even if it's 100% correct, it's not complete because it was written before the story ended, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So and it's weird because – we're having this battle right now, and I don't have a favorite. Actually, I do. I kind of hate the way both books are written, to be honest with you. Just writing style, I think they're terrible. But
now hold on a second.
Yeah,
you are. So the two books we're talking about is Becoming Steve Jobs by Brent Schlender, and what's the other guy's name?
Rick Tetzley.
Yeah, Rick Tetzley. Thank you. Rick Schlender and Rick Tetzley. And that's Becoming Steve Jobs. And there was, of course, the official biography that Steve Jobs worked with, which was written by Walter Isaacson. And that's just simply called Steve Jobs.
That's right.
Those are the two factions that we're talking about at this point.
That's right. Yeah.
But and, you were saying initially that you thought that Becoming Steve Jobs was a much better book, that it was much better written, that it was less about the author than Walter's book. Although I actually completely disagree with that. It's more about the author.
My problem with problems with both the books. My problem with Isaacson's book is it's not supposed to be about the author, and yet he takes every opportunity he can to inject himself into it and tell stories about Walter Isaacson, and it just like it's distracting.
Now, I don't agree with that either. He only injects himself into it when the source is important. He injects the source for everything else. Why wouldn't he inject the source when it involves him?
Because it's implied. I feel like it was overdone to me. Does that make it better? if I don't state it as a fact, I just state it as an opinion.
No, my faction is correct on this.
Exactly. Right. But the other one, it was just too. Again, it was. I don't know. I wanted to read a book about Steve Jobs, and I don't want to read a book about Brent and Rick, and mostly Brent talking about Brent and how great it was to get to know this great man. And it's like, okay, enough. You slathered enough frosting on this one, buddy. Keep moving.
There was this time that I met Steve, and I had this meeting with Steve, and then this is the things that Steve talked to me about. And then it would be later. You remember that time that Steve said that thing to me?
Yeah.
That said, I think it's a really well-written book. It's a much more just straight up enjoyable read.
I'll give you the Isaacson
book is an academic biography.
Yeah, I didn't even make it, a third of the way through Isaacson's book before I lost interest?
Yeah, see, that's interesting. I had exactly the opposite experience. I devoured the Isaacson book despite Walter's occasional detours that distracted me. And I had a lot of trouble getting through Becoming Steve Jobs. There's a million reasons why you might have trouble getting through a book, and 999,000 of them have nothing to do with the book. So it's not necessarily a good metric, at least not for me. But you should read all the books.
If you really want to understand someone, 20 years
from now, this debate over this book versus that book is going to be forgotten. It's not even going to be irrelevant. It's just forgotten. It doesn't exist. There's all these books about this guy. Go, right? Find every bit of information you can, because the people that knew him are declining in number by definition.
So that's true.
Go get all the information. I mean, that's already now. That's true now. But people tend to forget that because it's only been, 4 years since he passed away. So, it's like, oh, everybody knew him. All these people are still around. Like, yeah, well, quit fighting amongst each other and tell your dang stories, because soon this is over. This opportunity ends. And he was a very influential person,
And a very complex person.
To call him the man of the century, he's certainly in the list, right? Mm-hmm. He's in the running. We need to stop fighting about this and just gather all the people and get all the information, because it is something worth studying. His history is worth studying. So quit the fighting. Just read the stuff. Talk to everybody again. Get it down somewhere for the next generation of people.
And to that end, so one of the things that the journal said, and this comes with a massive caveat, is according to the journal, this would be the Wall Street Journal, Lorene Powell Jobs tried to get the studios to cancel this film.
Yep.
And according to their source, and here's where the caveat comes in, because that source is a producer on the film. And therefore, you got to take anything you might say about this with a grain of salt, especially in this promotional run-up for the movie.
Sure. Right. Yes.
Really, really, really. I mean, I'm not saying he's not telling the truth. I'm just saying that we have one side of this, and that's the, in this case, it's the non-Maureen Powell job side. But according to this producer, she refused to work with them, or declined the opportunity to work with them about aspects of the script that she didn't like, in part because their source material was a book that she didn't feel was accurate. So therefore, the film can't be accurate.
And that I would say that's a safe assumption for anyone picking up the book or walking into the film. It's not going to be perfectly accurate.
Well, and the movie is not presented as a biography of Steve Jobs. This is a story of being woven in what looks like a very intriguing way on screen about Steve Jobs.
Well, which comes back to what Steve Wozniak was saying. He was saying on Facebook when those multiple posts to Robert Scoble's link to a review of the movie, that the movie captures the spirit of working with the essence of working and the experience of working with Steve Jobs.
Now, isn't it funny that that Wozniak is giving this movie a pass for the same thing he bagged on the Ashton Kutcher Steve Jobs movie for?
It is remarkable, but it's also a little bit different, right? Because what he's saying about Steve Jobs, the new film versus Ashton Kutcher's Jobs, is that the new movie captures this essence, this spirit, et cetera, of working with Steve Jobs, even if it's factually inaccurate. What he said about the Ashton Kutcher film is that it was just factually inaccurate.
Okay, this is one place where you being mostly pedantic totally pays off, because that's actually a really important distinction.
Yeah.
But that said, it is weird. I mean, you know, it's weird to hear him say, well, you know, I don't like this movie because they just got some things wrong and these things never happened. And then to hear him say, well, these things never happened, but it really captures the spirit. That does seem like a bit of a contradiction. A double standard.
But I'm glad that you made that distinction, because for someone sitting in a bar somewhere some night talking about this, based on which faction they're in, that's going to be really useful information.
Indeed, and you're welcome.
Yes.
And there was another little piece that came out of another little tidbit that came out of this Wall Street Journal piece is that Bill Campbell, who was, you know, a mentor to Steve Jobs, in addition to being on Apple's board and the founder of Intuit, et cetera, and like essentially the worst supporter of the Mac ever, but whatever. He said, too, he expressed concern about people seeing this movie if it portrays Steve in a negative light, because he thinks it's going to shape a generation's perspective of Steve Jobs, but he hasn't seen it either. And I've never been keen on people saying you shouldn't read or watch something when they themselves have not seen or read it or watched it.
Yeah.
I have a problem with that too.
There are certain
extreme situations, but this doesn't fall into that category.
I don't even know that there's extreme situations. I mean, I
would feel comfortable saying if a new movie came out and it was just a snuff flick.
Oh, yes. I'd be okay
saying, you know, you really don't need to go see that movie.
That's right.
Right.
But this is different. I think that if you're going to tell people, if you're going to offer your opinion on whether or not this movie should be seen, then you need to have personal experience with it.
Yeah, it's why we trust movie reviewers, because in theory, they've actually watched the movies that they're reviewing.
In theory, right. Not always the case, but in theory.
No.
So here's an interesting aspect of this. Reading Becoming, a book that – Becoming Steve Jobs, that is. A book that that Steve's inner circle gave its blessing to and gave interviews for, right? They like that book. But to me, my reading of that book – paints this incredibly flawed individual who went through a path to become a great man. Right?
Yeah, but it's a redemption story.
It is a redemption story.
But it's an ends justify the means story.
Oh, nah, that seems particularly negative. Your faction is wrong, sir.
Yeah.
but my thing here is that if you just read all of these particular points that led to Steve becoming the person that he was when he came, once he got back to Apple and everything started falling into place and he made everything work.
Yeah.
If you just read all the stuff before that, it's pretty negative and dark. You know, he makes That's all right. these mistakes. He's you know, that abrasive thing. One of the things that that they talk about quite a bit is how he hadn't learned how to temper his tempering is actually a word that I gets used quite a bit in that book, right? And right. that he hadn't learned how to temper his he hadn't learned how to like balance out his negative traits with the positive traits that later came out, right? And this movie happens to focus on all the same key events leading up to that, right? There's you've got it's based around three product launches. It's the Mac, it's the Next Cube, and then it's the iMac.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all of those, with the possible exception of the iMac, fall in the same early period that even becoming paints Steve Jobs in a fairly dark light in. So, you know, is it not at all possible that the real problem that people might the Steve Jobs inner circle might have with this movie is that it doesn't look at the great period of Steve Jobs?
Frankly, I'm looking at the movie. I'm looking forward to seeing the movie for its entertainment value. I feel like having Aaron Sorkin writing those soliloquies that he will put into the character of Steve Jobs' mouth should be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it as an entertainment piece.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does my observation not merit
it,
a response?
It does. I mean, I feel like you are arguably going too deep into this.
Well, that's what I do.
As is everyone else. Well, as is everyone else that's whining about it, though. It's like just, it's a freaking movie. It's not a documentary, right? I mean, it is a piece of fiction.
Yeah, and I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, let's go see it.
Yeah.
Let's go see it. That's it.
Yeah, let's there it. You go.
Yeah.
Okay, listeners, I'm really curious. Do you have an opinion in this? Let me know what you think, because I'd love to get your thoughts. You can let me know on Twitter. That would be at TMO Daily. You can shoot me an email, observations@macobserver.com, or you can leave comments in the show notes for today's episode. I'll check all of those places, and I'm looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say. Hey, I promised earlier that I was going to talk about Downcast, so I really need to do that, because they are an awesome company that has an awesome app, the Downcast app. What I love about it is that you can put it on your iPhone, your iPad, and your Apple Watch, and you can have the same podcasts in all those places. You can synchronize where you are, so you can start listening on one device and then pick up where you left off on another. You can set up your own smart playlists for the podcasts that you listen to. You can do the variable rate playback thing. So if you need to listen to a podcast faster than the people actually spoke, you can do that, and it doesn't turn into chipmunk talk, which is really nice. Unless you're into chipmunks, and then who am I to judge? But the point is, it's a really good app. It's really useful, and I love that I can put a podcast management app on my iPhone that works so much better than the app that Apple gave us. I'm glad that I'm using Downcast. Okay, so what you need to do is go check it out, please. And to do that, just go over to downcast.fm/TDO. And that's going to shoot you to the right place on Apple's App Store so that you can pick up a copy of Downcast for your iOS devices. It's only a couple dollars, so it's not going to break your bank, and you'll be a lot happier because you're going to be able to deal with your podcast in a much better way than you did before. So thank you, Downcast, for being our sponsor today. And with that, we are pretty much out of time. So we're just going to have to wrap up. Dave, thank you for being here today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. This is a fun discussion. I'm curious to see what other folks think, too. Please send in your stuff.
Yes. Let us know what faction you're in.
I am in the faction that has no faction.
I'm not going to make the joke I was going to make. Okay, Brian, thank you for being here today.
You are most welcome, Team Brian. Hashtag.
Yeah, we'll get t-shirts made up. You can be Team Brian. You can be Team Dave.
The best part is I don't know what teams we're on, and I don't think we're on different teams, but let's fight it out anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's what makes it an exciting show. I don't know why.
And if you
fighting,
know what teams we're on, let us know, because we're unclear on this.
Yes.
Yeah, we clearly need your help. All right. Listeners, thank you for being here again today. We'll see you all tomorrow.